Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kufyud Beis, and we are on Kufyud Aleph Mabeis, second wide line of Kufyud Aleph Mabeis. Everybody also should, if I forget, to have a Guten Shabbos and a Freilichim Chanukah. Chanukah Tzameach to all as we get into the learning of Chanukah. We'll see what we could do about connecting Baba Basra Yishnochlan to Chanukah. We'll see as we go through each day to see if there's any hashkacha connections. Okay, second line on Kuf Yud Aleph Mabeis. V'hai Tana Maisi Lamehacha. So the following Tana brings it from here. Brings what from here? So remember the context. We are in the sugya of husband yarshining a wife. Husband yarshining a wife, Baal Yorish Ishto, and the Mishnah Ferg, we had one source already. This is going to be the second source. The first source was the She'erozu Ishto, the Yarash Rosa. We mentioned that if you look in the Torah, in the Pasuk itself, it seems like it doesn't mean that. It seems like it's just the opposite. But we have the principle of Garin and Mosif and Vidarshan. We're allowed to take a few letters from here and put it later on in the Pasuk, and in that way, Darshan. So that is what's the... that was the first source. There is an important Rashbam, which we'll get back to later, but let's just mention it now, because it was at the end of yesterday's daf. Look at the second wide line. In the Rashbam. Afilu hechadika ben. Even where there is a son. Shaharei habaal eno karov la kishar krovim shela. A husband is not a relative like other relatives. Shekrovim lami mishpachta. He's not a blood relative like all other inheritors. And even so, he says, the Torah says that he yarshins, even though we know he's not a blood relative. Hilkach vadai lakadim kol akrovim shela hu. De'amrinan de'bal yoresh velo haim. The fact that the Baal Yarshin says Rashbam, it must be the Torah is telling you something new, because this he's not a regular Yerusha, he's not a blood relative, and therefore it must be that he's kodem everybody else. That is the Rashbam. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. The uniqueness of the Yerusha's Habal, unlike everyone else on the line, which is a paternal relative. So first, let's continue though, and say the second source. V'hai Tana Maisi Lamehacha. So the following Tana holds it from the following. The Tanya, third wide line. V'yarash Osam Alami Shabal Yorish Zishto. Div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, he yarshins her, that's husband to wife. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't need that. Harehu Omer, you have another pasuk. And the Gemara is about to quote the Brisa of four psukim. This Brisa says four psukim in a row. Harehu Omer. V'chol Bas Yoreshes Nachla Mimatos B'nei Yisrael. All daughters that yarshu nachla from matos bnei Yisrael la'achan mi mishpachas v'chulu. So it said matos, right? So matos, a bas that's yoreshes nachla from matos. The case we had yesterday when we spoke about the possibility of switching shvatim, the possibility of having an isser of switching shvatim, which existed in that generation. Basavas abala chasim adaber. That is talking about a case where a husband is the one that is switching. The daughter comes in and gets married, and if she dies, her husband's going to yarshin her, and then the nachla is going to switch shvatim from what she brought in to where she is going. V'omer, and it also says, v'lotisov nachla l'bnei Yisrael mimatel matem, and nachla should not switch l'bnei Yisrael from shevet to shevet. Again, how would that happen? It must be a husband yarshining a wife. V'omer, and it also says, v'losisov nachla mimatel matem acher. A nachla shouldn't switch. It must be husband from a wife. Again, the Gemara will discuss why you need all these psukim. V'omer, let's just finish all of them first. And the Braisa also says, V'elazar ben Aaron Meis, Elazar died, right? Aaron's son died, the last parak in Sefer Yehoshua. Last parak, Yehoshua dies and Elazar dies. Elazar was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Yehoshua. So it says where each of them were buried. So Yehoshua was buried in Timnat Serach, and Elazar was buried, V'ikru oso, begivas, Pinchas beno, in the area of Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, right? Pinchas his son. So that's where Elazar was buried. V'chiminayin lePinchas lohaylo leElazar. What do you mean in Pinchas' area? How did Pinchas have anything that Elazar didn't have? Everything is their father's son. So how is it possible for Pinchas to have anything? Ela melamed shenasa Pinchas isha v'mesa v'yarsho. It must be that Pinchas got married to a wife who brought in nachla, and she died, and he yarshed her. Third source of the Braisa, the Omer, and the final source, Uskuv Holid Es Yair. And Skuv had Ya'ir, Vayhilo, Esrim, Visholosh, Arim, Ba'aria, Gilad. And he had 23 cities in the Eretz Gilad, in the land of Gilad. So again, Skuv had Ya'ir, and Ya'ir had all this property. So again, the Gemara asks, Minayim li Ya'ir, Shalohayi, lo l'Skuv. How does the son have anything that the father didn't have? Melamed, Shenasa Ya'ir, Isha, Vamesa, Viyarsha. So Yar had, we got married, and he married a woman, and the woman died, and he yarshed her. So five different psukim, or four different psukim in the Brisa, all teaching me Baal Yoresh Es Ishta. Okay, a couple of points on this Brisa. Number one, Linyim Psak. Linyim Psak. In Maseches Ksubis, there's a Machlokas Tanoim. What do we hold about Baal Yoresh Es Ishta? There are 10 Gemaras and Shas, all seem to point in a different direction, besides the Machlokas Tanam that we have. But if you look in the Rashba. The Rashba writes in a tshuva in Chelek Beis Simen Reish Chaf Aleph 2:221. Says the Rashba, he was asked, Amarta the Yerushas of Al Darabanan Kemosha Ramazta Biksav Sheila. Says the Rashba, no, I'm sorry, you misunderstood what I said. V'ani Ein Daiti Kain El Yerushas Abal De Oraisa. Yerushabal is Da Oraisa, just like every other type of Yarshin in the Parshas Pinchas is Da Oraisa. So to here, even though it's not explicit, but all the other ones, this is Da Oraisa also. Uvekulu Tanois Hach Islahu Beperek Nochlin. Right, if you look on this daf that we just read, we quoted six different sources, it sounded like they were Da Oraisa drushes. Didn't sound like they were just asmachtas. The Tanya Hasam Sheiro, he quotes all the psukim, V'tana Maisi Lemehacha, and all of those V'drasha Gemura Hizos, V'lo Asmachta Bialma. And he quotes other Gemaras as well. And then he quotes, V'lo Ashkechon Bekulu Tanoi, Man De Amar, Yerusha Sabal De Rabbanan El Rebbe Lazar. Only Rebbe Lazar is a Shita that holds the Rabbanan, V'pligi Chachamim V'Ramei Alei, and we argue with him. So the Rashba is clear that Yerusha Zabal is Daraisa. Who argues? The Meiri argues. The Meiri argues here, saying it's the Rabbanan. But, even more importantly, if we could say more importantly, the Rambam. The Rambam holds the Rabbanan. The Rambam says in Hilchas Nachlis, Aleph Ches, Ha'isha Yeinu Yerushas is Baal HaKlal. A wife never inherits a husband, but Ve'habal Yorish is Kol Nechse Ishto, Midivrei Sofrim. Who called him Lakobi Rushasa? Lachora Divrei Sofrim here, even though sometimes it's a mystery what exactly Midivrei Sofrim means, Kimat all the time. Midivrei Kabbalah is a little more Da'oraisa related. Divrei Sofrim, Kimat all the time means Durabanan. So that is what the Rambam says here. And then the Ravid actually even seems to agree here with the Rambam, which is somewhat, usually the Ravid agrees, doesn't say anything. But here the Ravid seems to see. He's not 100% clear, but he says maybe not. He's not as sharp as he usually is. He says some, there are some rishis that are against this. Okay, that is the Rambam, that it is Dirabanan. Two other points on this Gemara, and that is these last two sources that spoke about Pinchas and Elazar. How is it possible that Pinchas has it without Elazar? How is it possible that Ya'ir has it without Skuv? So the pashas is, as I explained it, that how could the son have it, b'makom the father? But if you look in the other Rishonim, it's not just that, but it's something deeper. The Ravid says in the Shita Mekubetzes that the question is, Pirish, minayin hayilo lepinchas bahar Ephraim, shahari pinchas kohen haya, v'hakonim lo nitnu lahem arim, elam yishevet Yehuda v'shimon u'binyamin. The question isn't just how did Pinchas have it if his father didn't have it, but how did Pinchas have it bechlal? He was a Kohen. He was a Kohen, and Kahanim didn't get cities wherever they wanted. We know there were 48 Ari Levim, six of them were Ari Miklat, and the Kohanim got certain cities, and they didn't get any in Ephraim, the Ravid says. They only got in Yehuda, Shimon, and Binyamin. So how is it that he had? And the other question about Skuv and Yair also is something more content oriented. It's just not just about a father and a son. Why? His father Skuv was from Yehuda. How do you know? If you look at the psukim, Ben Chetzron Haya. Shenemar v'yachar b'chetzron al beis machir avi gilad v'tiel lo eskuv v'skuv al it is Yair. So Yair was from Yehuda, Gilad was from Menashe. So how did they yarshin? So it's not just how did the son have something that the father didn't have, but it's more specific. How did he have something if he was not from that shevet? The Netziv is Mosif here as well on this question. Again, you have the Rashbam, you have the Ravid, and then you have the Netziv. We do a Netziv about once every 10 blot. Says the Netziv, quoting this question, V'ein lo marsha nitnu lo b'chelko, sharei b'har Ephraim siv, and he wasn't a Kohen, fine. Aval ihaya le'elazar lo kasha. If Elazar would have had something when he died, it wouldn't have been a problem. It's only that, how could Pinchas happen? Elazar wouldn't have been a problem, because it says in Netziv, Shaharei mitzvah laha'ashiro. Says that it's because there's a mitzvah to make the Kohen Gadol rich. And it could very well be that Elazar, who had been the Kohen Gadol up until the moment he died, was, he had this land from other people. But Pinchas wasn't the Kohen Gadol yet. Elazar just died. So therefore, there was no way, there wouldn't have been a problem if his father had it, but the problem was only because the son had it. Where do we see this? It's Beferish Gemara. Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Ches. I think way back when. This was in the summer, so that's why there's no daf on it. But the Gemara says in Yuma, Yud Ches Amen Aleph, V'hakohen ha-gadol me'achav, she'yehe gadol me'achav b'koach, b'noi, b'chochma u'ba'osher. The Kohen Gadol, what does it mean? Gadol Me'achav in all the different milas. So some of these are inherent. You can't give him anything about it. Strength and beauty and wisdom. But and Osher. For Acher Momrim, Minayin Shem Ein Lo She'echav, Achiv HaKohanim, Magadzlan Oso. For Tamalomer, Vakohen HaGadol Me'achav, Gadzluhu Mishalachav. And it's quoted in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. The Rambam writes, in the beginning of the fifth parak, Kohen Gadol, Sarach Sheyia Gadol Mikol Echav HaKohanim. He has to be greater than all the other Kohanim. Binoi, Bekoach, Ba'osha, Bechachma, Ubemara. Im Ein Lo Mamon, Kol HaKohanim. So this is the only one that can be changed. Im Ein Lo Mamon, Kol HaKohanim, Nosninlo, Mishelohem. Kol Echad Ve'echad Lefi Ashro, Ad Sheya Ashir Yoter, Me Ashir Shebekulan.
From the Kohanim.
Oh, so you're saying for the other Shvatim. So the Netziv, good Ha'ara. The Netziv is extending that to other Shvatim. It wouldn't be Akasha because it would be, right, if you, the Lashon of the Gemara, is, Shemein lo she'echava kohanim megadlin oso. Yeah, it sounds like for the Gemara that the other Kohanim give it. And here, all the Kohanim give it. So, and he said, Ve'ein echad mikolelo ma'akev el kozel mitzvah, avo im nisraba mikol makom nisraba. Okay. But you're right, the Netziv is extending it because the whole point of the Netziv is other Shvatim. This whole parak is an interesting parak all about the halachas of the Kohen Gadol. This is what we have to do to the Kohen Gadol. Then it talks about what does the Kohen Gadol have to do. Hai, Kohen Gadol lino kavod ba'atzmo, he has to take himself very seriously, his position, v'lo yekal atzmo mim shara'am, v'lo yiroso arum, v'lo beis hakise, he can't go to the mikvah with other people, v'lo yikadis le beis hamishteh, v'lo sudu sharabim, aval holich, hu imrotza le beis ha'avel, he doesn't go to regular parties, and he has to get a haircut every week, and it continues and tells us all of the halachas of the Kohen Gadol. But that's the Netziv Sa'ara, the Husafa of this. It's the Rashbam's part of the question, the Ravid's part of the question, and then you have the additional point of the Netziv. One final question, and then we will continue, and that is Tosfos' question here. Tosfos says, it sounds like from all of these psukim, especially for the first one, of She'eruzu Ishto, Hu Yarash Osa, it sounds like that we need a limud that he yarshins her, and she doesn't yarshin him. We might have said that the just like the husband yarshins the wife also yarshins the husband. And that's why the Gemara has to say, Hu Yarash on the third to last skinny line, the Yarash Osa, Hu Yarash Osa, V'ain He Yarash Osa. Ask Tosfos in Dibur Maskil who, you really need a pasuk for that. Right? If it's true that the wife also yarshins the husband, theoretically, so wouldn't the Torah have said that it's an avera on the husband also of Hasavas Nachla? The Torah seems to say that a woman has to make sure not to marry out of her shevet. But by a husband, what would be the problem? Shouldn't it be a problem too? What do you need a pasuk for then? The fact that the Torah only warns a woman not to switch shvatim, but doesn't warn a man, doesn't that show us already that there's no iser, there's no havamina that a wife could yarshin a husband? Tosfos asks the question and does not answer it. The Rav Meir Simcha, in the Ar Sameach, in his commentary here, he says, no, it's not a problem. Because the man could marry another wife. The man could marry another wife, and he could designate, based on other sources, he quotes this, he could designate that all the Yerusha should go to a specific woman. right? Just like based on Tanoim later on in our parak. So then it wouldn't be a problem. A woman can't marry another man. But a man can marry another woman, so that's why it wouldn't be a problem. That's the answer to Tosis' question. Okay, so now let's continue. Says the Gemara. Maiva Omer. So we had five different sources in this brisa. So what do you need so many sources for to tell me that a husband yarshins a wife? So we're about to see it all. Let's just do this top Tosfos and then we will read the Gemara. Top Tosfos says, Tamal the Rashba. Ask the Rashba, one second. This is not the Rashba that we know, the Ramban Rashba Ritvaran. This is the Rashba of the Baalei Tosfos. Earlier, Tosfos can't quote the Rashba. Tema l'Rashba, I l'bai ha'aretz nischalka ha'aretz, amai lo haya li'yair, shelo haya l'skuv. One second, we know that Yaskuv lived earlier, and Yair, l'chora, Tosfos asks, went into Eretz Yisrael. So if we hold Machlokas later on in the parak, how did they split up the Nachla in Eretz Yisrael? Did they just split it up based on whoever was alive at the time? Or did they do it somehow based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim? So he asked Tosfos if they did it based on the ones who came into Eretz Yisrael, so there's no problem. I'm sure there were a lot of people, a lot of sons that had Nachla that the father didn't have. The father died in the Midbar, so they got Nachla. So if according to that Shita, what would be the problem? Again, he does not answer it. Says the Yad Rama, no, maybe he was born after they came into Eretz Yisrael. We don't have any Rayas. Maybe Skuv went into Eretz Yisrael, and Ya'ir was born after that. So even if you hold Le'bai Haaretz, it was split up, it still should have gone to the father. So we don't have any Rayas, says the Yad Rama, that he was born beforehand. Okay, so Maiva Omer. So now we get into what is the V'Omer, why do you need so many Psukim in this Braisa? So V'chi Tema, now we say, we had the first source. The first source was V'chol Bas Yereshes Nachala. She can't marry out of her shevet. So if you would have only had that source, maybe I would have thought that pasuk, yes, there's a worry that the nachla is going to switch, but not because the husband reyash and the wife, but that the wife would have a child with this man, and the child would yarshin her, and she's also the child is also from the father shevet. That's the issue. Sibas haben, abo baal lo yoris, but the first pasuk doesn't quote anything. The baal wouldn't be yoresh. Who says that he would do it? So tashma. That's why you have the second pasuk. V'lo sisov nachla lebnei yisov mimata lamata. Fine. V'chei tema. And if you want to say that's also maybe both of them are about sibas haben. Both of them are about the worry of the switching of the shevet is through the son, not through the husband. So why would you need two psukim? V'chi tema la'avar Allah b'lava asay. And if you want to say it, because the first pasuk is just an asay, and here we're adding in a lav, right? Lo tisov nachla, it's an aveira, but they're really both about the son, so that's why you need the third pasuk, tashma, lo tisov nachla, mimata lamata acher. That's why you need the third pasuk. We're in the middle of a sentence, let's continue. V'chi tema la'avar Allah, and if you want to say that maybe even the third pasuk is talking about the son, tashma, that's why you have the fourth pasuk, and if you want to say, you don't need that either. Why? That's also not a good source for the husband's yarshini. Why? Elazar hu denasiv itza. Maybe, Pinchas, and if you want to say that really Elazar got married and she died and he yarshin v'yarsa Pinchas and Pinchas yarshin her, Pinchas yarshin the mother. So again, it's talking about a son, not about a husband. Tashma uskufolit as yar v'chulu v'chete basam nami hachihu. And if you say also the last case is also about a son, not about a husband. Imkain shrei kray lamali. What would you need two psukim to tell me that for? That's not adding on any averas. That's just describing a case. So therefore, you at least need the fifth one. You at least need one. So you see the build-up why you need each one. The language of the Gemara here is lav or alav. The havamini is lav or alav, belav va'asei. To violate an aveira and an asei. The Rashbam here, on the fourth skinny line, quotes two words that is much discussed by the later achronim. Kidei lehischayev malkus. Says the Rashbam, it would be a real Aveira. You get Malkus for it. Obviously, it might not be, it's not counted in the Sefer HaMitzvahs because the Rambam holds that you don't count mitzvahs that are L'sha'a, only L'doros. So this was an Aveira, even if it was an Aveira on the Shvatim, it was only for a certain generation, right? Just like the Rambam does not count the Aveira of leaving your house on Pesach night, Right? Why? Because that was only for that generation in Mitzrayim. Right? Anything that was a temporary, the Isra of going up on our Sinai. Right? That's not counted as one of the 613 because it is not eternal. There's even a suggestion that we've discussed in the past, Elul time. The Rambam, famous Rambam, Rambam does not count the mitzvah of tshuva. Doesn't seem to count the mitzvah of tshuva. He counts the mitzvah of vidui. Tshuva is background. When the Rambam says, kishe ya'asa tshuva in Mishnah Torah, when you do tshuva, you have to do vidui. People point out, Mepharshim point out that in the Koteret, Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, that in the title line of the Rambam, he does say, l'shuv el Hashem v'yizvada. So the kiyum is the tshuva. So it might be the kiyum is the tshuva, the mice is the vidui. But either way, many achronim suggest that maybe, Menachas Chinuch asked this question, that the Rambam does not quote tshuva. Why not? Why not did he quote tshuva? Many answers given. So one answer suggested by Rav Zhulti, the Mishnah's Yavetz, he says if you look at the psukim at the end of the Torah, in Parshas Nitzav, in Parshas Vayelech, Hashem promises that Lasa Lavo, B'nei Yisrael will do tshuva. Right, he promises. How could Hashem promise? If Hashem promises something's going to happen, that means we lost our Bechira. If you lost our Bechira, the point of a mitzvah is based on the fact that we have Bechira Chashus. So it must be the fact that there will be a time in history before the Geula that we will do tshuva, and therefore we will lose, Hashem promises, we'll lose our Bechira, so it must be that the mitzvah is not going to exist then. Maybe now, but not then. That's why the Rambam doesn't count it. Says the Mishnah's Yavetz, because it's not an eternal mitzvah forevermore. Karbanos are eternal. We just can't bring the karbanos because we don't have a mizbeach. But really, it is l'maisa, but we just can't do it. So that's why you don't count it. Masha'en kein shuva, says the Mishnah's Yavetz. It's a radical suggestion.
I understand, because all the other mitzvahs we had can choose or not choose eternally.
Right.
Which means
all the other mitzvahs we could
choose. Which means we have the right not to do them. And if we didn't do them, how are we doing shuva?
Right, we have everything is. You're saying that if that's true, the suggestion then all mitzvahs you should say are not eternal because at the point that we're going to be forced to do tshuva and we'll promise to do tshuva, that's on all the other mitzvahs, right? In the chinami. That's why that's the Meshech Chachma's answer why the Rambam doesn't quote tshuva is that tshuva is inherent in every other avera in the Torah. What I was Mechal Shabbos, so why can't I be Mechal Shabbos anymore? Because of the mitzvah of tshuva. Says the Meshech Chachma, no. The same reason you can't be Mechal Shabbos the first time is the reason you can't be Mechal Shabbos the fifth time. Right? It's inherent in every Avera that you have to tshuva from that Avera when you realize that you're doing something wrong. The only mitzvah could be vidui. That's the additional. You have to say it. When you ask a child, the child realizes they do something wrong. You say I'm sorry. They can't say it. Why can't they say it? Because that's concretizing what they did. That's admitting what they did. That's another step. That's another level of tshuva. So that the Rambam could codify. But it's just part and parcel of every Avera, says the Meshech Chachma. But that's the Mishnah's Yavetz' suggestion, that it's not eternal. That's why the Rashbam wouldn't count this either. But you're right. It's a question on that Mishnah's Yavetz. Back to our line. So the Gemara here suggests that it's an Avera. It's Lavra La Balavase. So the Meshech, the Rashbam here says, Kedele is Chayiv Malkus. If you look in the Ramban at the end of Maaseh, the last Ramban in Maaseh, he doesn't seem to say it's Mamish taking that seriously, even if it would be an Isra on the Gavra, he doesn't mention Malkus at all. It's a Tzivui, and maybe it's a Mania, will prevent you from doing it, and what if you did it? What if you did it? Maybe, sounds like that maybe we would even prevent the Nachla, we'll take the Nachla away from you. We won't let the Nachla switch. Not just that, it's a lav, but it's not a lav in the regular sense. He doesn't mention Malkus. Okay, the Rebbe Chanan says it could be, we'll get back to this Rebbe Chanan at the end of this year today, it could be that they would both, is only the wife getting Malkus here? Or the husband too? Right, which is it? He says there's Chayim Malkus, so it's not clear. It could be that the Rashbam is saying even the Baal. There's a Meshech Chachma in Bamidbar, that says that no, that this is only on the woman, and it's one of, got to put it on the list. Is this the only Avera that only applies to women? You have to see, right? Any of the Arayas apply to a husband, a man and a woman. So this Avera could be, it says, suggests the Meshech Chachma, Velosis of Nachla. It only applies to the women, and not to the man. Suggested. But again, it's not so clear. Bochanan says that maybe it applies to both. So that is related to Lav Va'aseh. And then the Gemara, just remember the flow. We said, maybe this isn't a good makar, because maybe it's to a violate with a Lav and an Aseh. So we know a Lav adds on something to an Aseh. But then it says that maybe the third pasuk is to teach me that it's two Lavs and Aseh. Why would you say that? Why would you just say the Torah is piling on Isurim instead of saying the Torah is teaching you something by having the extra pasuk? Right? That is Tosa's question. Second Tosa's tema, ha'hecha de'ikal ha'medrish lo makmina b'lav yaseire. If there's something to teach you, you never just say, oh, it's three averis. And here you have something to learn. The Baal Yoreis is Ishto, so why would we say that?
Maybe the next pasuk is four averis.
Sorry, maybe that's what, right, the other one is, the fourth one is not a formulation of an avera. It's just saying that an occurrence. That's what the Gemara didn't suggest. But why would you say that? Why would you say that? So that's the Ritva. The Ritva here says, you know why you would say that? Because, and this is a Yisod Gadol, is what we referred to from the Rashbam before, but Yisod Gadol, and that is, this is not regular, natural, logical Yerusha we're talking about. A husband yarshining a wife, that is a totally different type of Yerusha, in quotes, than anything else. So it's not that we have something beautiful and logical to learn. V'yesh lomar, tahanami, keman deleka lemedrish chashvid amlei. It's as if we don't have something to darshan. Because if we wouldn't know this, we're trying to learn this, we wouldn't just say it for sure. We wouldn't say it's mochrach from the pasuk. Why? She'abau she'eno karov yoris es yisto. Because a husband is not really a relative. It's the only type of relative that you could choose to have or not to have. Right, if somebody doesn't like a sister or an uncle, doesn't matter whether they like it or not. There's no getting out of it. But right, by a husband, it's the only one that you could choose. And there is a beautiful footnote. If you have the Mosad Rav Kook, right, four column footnote about proving this idea from other sugyas that when we say Baal Yoresh is Ishto, it doesn't really mean that. It's a name, Yoresh, but it's not really Yoresh in the Yoresh sense. Yoresh means relative. Baal Yoresh Ishto is a zchus mamoni. It's part of the other zchus. The husband has certain zchuyos in the wife, and the wife has certain zchuyos in the husband. Ksuba, it's one of the Tanai Ksuba. It says Yorashta, and it uses that lashon in Ksubas also, by the Tanai Ksuba, but it doesn't really mean that. It's a zchus, it looks like Yerusha. The Yerusha is a Baal, he writes, Eino, who wrote the footnotes of this one? Rav Yaakov David Ilan. He says, "V'adam b'zeh, the yirush is a baal eino midinei nachlas shel kurva, ela mizchuyos v'kinyanei habaal shezoche b'shas nisuin." And then he quotes one point which I didn't understand, and that is, and that's why the Rambam puts yirush is a baal in Hilchas Ishus and not in Hilchas Nachlas. I just read it. Hilchas Nachlas is also Ches Aleph, Ches whatever that Rambam was that he says it's drabanan in Hilchas Nachlas. So I'm not exactly sure what he meant by this. Maybe the details. Going into detail, it's in Hilchas Nachlas. And he quotes also the Shulchan Aruch is in Eben Ezer. It's not in Yoredeya. V'lochein, that is why this only applies, by the way, when the husband's alive. What about if the husband died? Does it go to the husband's Yarshim separately? No. V'loshayach b'zeh mishmush, because he's not a regular Yoresh. By other Yarshim, it can go through the Yoresh. Let's say to the person's brothers, to the Nifter's brothers. It goes through the father and down, because you can have mishmush through a real Yoresh. You can't have mishmush through a husband because he's not a real relative. Number one, so he says that's why you don't have mishmush. Number two, he says that's why a Baal is not notel baroi. He's not notel baroi. He doesn't take something that is owed. If you're a regular Yoresh, you collect the loans that were owed. You might not take double if you're a Bechor. A Bechor does not take Roi Kimamuchsa. But a regular Yoresh takes. A husband does not take. Because again, he is not a real Yoresh. Another, he says, what we touched on in the past. It's going to come up. The main sugya. What about this very important Rashbam and Yamshel Shlomo that seems to say, once a husband decides to divorce his wife, Kivich Nasavin of Lagarsha, or the Gemara says in Gittin, Ein lo peros. He loses the schus to eating peros. The Rashbam, the Afshalom, expand upon that. Maybe other halachas don't apply. Maybe he's not misabel. Right? We have the case later on coming up. The wife, the husband is not sure if the wife knows how to smell. Right? Knows that it has the power of smell. So she goes into a churva. He wants to test her if he has the power of smell. Anyway, Lamaisa Rachman al-San, the churva falls down and she dies at the time. So he had in mind maybe to divorce her. So, says the Yamshel Shlomo, no Avelos. No Avelos, they're fully married, they weren't divorced yet. The answer is, based on this, it makes more sense, because this is a relationship that is not based on mamish blood, it's based on marriage and divorce, and therefore it's more tenuous. It's more tenuous, and therefore it's a schus mamoni. He says it by Yerusha, but it applies to others as well. And he says, maybe this is also one more, and then we'll go on. But again, this all comes from this. That's why you wouldn't have thought it. It's amazing. That's why you would have rather have said that there's two averis for the woman rather than darshaning this chiddush of Baal Yoresh Ishto. Because Baal Yoresh Ishto is a chiddush. You wouldn't have said it. So that's why the Gemara in Erechin has a suffix whether a Baal is goel steachuza of the wife. What do you mean, the Baal's a Yoresh? The answer is no. The Gemara says, do you say Shekein Yarsha, O Dilma Binago El Shekein Notel Baraui? What is that Slavic of the Gemara? So that's a goof for our case. Do you say Lamaisa, he's Yoresh, therefore he would be Gol Steachuz like we had yesterday? Or do you say, no, the son takes Roy? What is that saying? The son's the real Yoresh. The son's the Yoresh, not the husband. So that is the footnote on the bottom of the Ritva, but it's based on the Ritva that says the uniqueness of a husband Yarshning, Baal Yoresh Zishto, is it's not Yerusha, really. It is Yerusha, but it's not Yerusha. It's a very different kind of Yerusha. Okay, let's keep that in mind as we go through this parak. Again, make the lists of all the Yesodos that we have about Dina Yerusha. Okay, so we just explained why we need five sources. So the Gemara says now, Amrle Rav Papa Labaya. Rav Papa says to Abaya, Mimai, how do you know all of these sources work? Dilmala olamim lecha baalo yaris. Maybe really the husband does not yarshin. Vikroi besimas haben kedushaninon. And the first three psukim, that's talking about, again, the psukim about the wife going to a different shevet and the worry about it switching, that's talking about the worry is the son yarshining her, not the husband. What about the last two? V'yair, the Zavin Mizvin. Upinchas Nami, the Zavin Mizvin. How about a son buy something? How could they have it that the father didn't have it? They bought a piece of land. What would be wrong with that? They bought a piece of land. Omar Lay, he says, Abai said, no, it can't be. Pinchas, the Zavin Mizvin, Lomaz's Amrit. Pinchas couldn't have bought. Why? Because what did the Pasuk say? He bought this piece of land and then he buried his father in it? No. DMK, if he bought a piece of land, that's called a stay mikneh. A stay mikneh, he buys a piece of land, what happens to a stay mikneh by Yovel? It goes back to the original owner. DMK, nimse stay sadeh choseres by Yovel. V'nimse tzadeh kavur bekever she'eno shelo. It can't be. He bought a piece of land, you can't suggest that he bought it, because then he'd be burying his father in a land that's not going to be his. And 50 years from now, it's going to have to be given back. He wouldn't have to do that. It's zilzul. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says it's a zilzul for a tzaddik to be buried in a kever she'eino shelo. Like we discussed a few weeks ago, all the halachas, we had one day where we discussed all the halachas of pinui atzamos, right? All the different srachim, why you're allowed to move a body. So kever she'eino shelo, we had all those shuvas of Ramosha, fascinating shuvas. So would he do that? So it can't be. It can't be. Let's just do the next line. Ella. So Ema, another one. Ema de Nafla lemi stecharamim. Another way maybe he could have gotten it. Stecharim. If you look in Baba Kama, Daf, Kuf, Yud. Baba Kama, Daf, Kuf, Yud has the list of all of the matanos of the Kohanim. Baba Kama, Kuf, Yud, Mebez. Thank you. Kufyudim Abayz on the bottom of the page, bottom of the Yamud. Esrim ba'arba matanas kuna ninu laron lebanav. 24 special presents. Right? Siyata Deshpa'i, all these years you brought the same volume for today. Right? Esrim ba'arba matanas, 24 matanas were given to Aaron lebanav. V'kula ninu b'chalo prad, and it lists all of them. There were 10 matanas of the Mikdash, and 4 in Yerushalayim, and 10 outside. So if you look on the list of Asara b'gvulin, right, the ten in Gvulin is Truma, Trumas Meiser, Chala, Reishis Ageis, Pidyon Aben, Pidyon Petach Hamor, Stei Achuza, Stei Charamim. It's a pasuk beferish in Parshas Korach, where it says, if you give a Sada as a Cherem to the Beis HaMikdash, it goes to the Kohanim. It's a special din. If I want to give my Sada to the Kohanim, I can make it a Cherem and it goes to the Kohanim. That's one of the Matanas. It's one of the Matanas. So here too, maybe that's how Pinchas got it. So the Gemara ends like that. Maybe it could be that, period. There's a stop there. Okay, let us talk for a minute about this line. There is an interesting Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech has a suffix. Well, we'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam writes, right, we know this halacha of, the Rambam says, well, let's just read it, in Hilchas Mechira. Let's say I buy a field for 20 years. I buy your field for 20 years. Am I allowed to work that field in a permanent way? It's my field for 20 years. I have to give it back to you in 20 years. Right? It's not a matanah. I sold it to you. A 20-year, not a lease. I sold it to you. That was the deal. So am I allowed to dig holes in it? Do I have to give it back to you exactly as you gave it to me? Or no, it's mine for 20 years. It's not like you only have a Kenyan Paris. Says the Rambam, in Mechira Chav Gimel Vav, you can do whatever you want. It's yours for now. And if it's yours for now, You can do whatever you want. Hakone lizman katsuv, hare hu bone, o horeis, vi ose bekol zmano hakatsuv. Kimosha ose hakone kinyan olam la olam.
Could be less than 20 years.
Right. Could be for a week. You can do whatever you want. If it's a zman katsuv, you sold it just for kinyan peiros. Do whatever you want. And here the Ravid agrees. Like I said beforehand, he was so, but here the Ravid agrees. He says, Odef shalot mocher sadeo l'shishim shana o l'chamishim shana o l'abram shana she'azimu kol chefso kol yimei ha-mecher b'bnei shu kemocher bizman hayovel. It's just like, says the Ravid, mocher bizman hayovel. By zman hayovel, you know a lot of these fields are going to go back to the original owner, and yet, we don't have any sources, there's any limit on it. That's the Rambam and that's the Ravid. If you look in the Mishnah Lamelech now, Perak Yud Aleph of Hilchas Shemitah, says the Mishnah Lamelech, he has a suffix about this. Nis tapakti b'mocher sadeu b'zman ha-yovel, if I sell my field during time of Yovel. Im yachol halokeach lachbar ba boor shichan ma'aros, o dilma, eino yachol l'shanoso, l'fishol ha-mocher lo, ela achilas peiros. Right? Can you do it? And he quotes our Rambam. He quotes our Rambam from Hilchas Mechira. He says, you can do it. And it sounds like for the Ravid that he agrees with him. So it sounds like that you can. But he says, I'm a tama on this, because there's a Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi that seems to say otherwise. It's apart from the Yerushalmi, that you're not allowed to do it, because you have to give it back as it was. As was. So he leaves the Rambam Sorachid for the Yerushalmi. And then he says, but there's a Gemara in Baba Basra. It's a Gemara in Baba Basra, that the Gemara is worried, our Gemara, how could he have buried him in a field Shein Shelo? Says the Mishnah Malach, I have a better question. How could he have dug the grave in the first place? Forget the fact that how can he bury him, and it's a zilzul to the tzaddik. If you say, like the Yerushalmi, that he wasn't allowed to, that you're not allowed to dig, so you weren't allowed to dig it in the first place. Unless you say maybe he gave him permission. Maybe that's the ukibta of the Gemara. But if not, then this Gemara maybe is the source for the Rambam. Maybe this Gemara, in a backhanded way, is the source for the Rambam. That if you mocher l'zman katsuv, you're allowed to dig. Because here the Gemara is only bothered. Yeah, it's not right. And the Gemara is not bothered. How could he dig it in the first place? That is the Hara of the Mishnah Lamelech. One other line. It's amazing that the Chassam Sofer is the one that said this line. Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he talks about the minhag that many are very makpid to buy their own burial plot and pay for their own burial plot. So he was asked about the minhag in Yoredeya Shin Lamed Aleph. Mashika Safti Liyashi Minhag Kol Tfutzas Yisrael Likach Al Kopanim Davar Ma Barachuzas Kever Afilu Me Ani Bi Yisrael V'Omrim Al Derech Melitza. Listen to this line. He said that people say a little tug in cheek. E F shar lepsichas hakever below damim. Right? That's a lashon from Nida that the psichas hakever, the uterus, doesn't open without dam. That's a big, very halach lamaisa. Let's say you know that there was a woman had a certain procedure that the uterus opened, so you have to know how big was the instrument put in, because E F shar, even though she's not bleeding, E F shar lepsichas hakever below dam. And there's a sugya, what if it's open from the outside and not from the inside? Big sugya is known to be huda chasam sofers, but here the chasam sofer takes that as a melitza and he says, no, there's no kever without paying for it. E F shar lepsichas hakever below damim. That's the line of the Chatzam Sofer. He says, where do you see that from? He says, Amarti Sheminag Avoseinu Torahu. Where's the source for that? Babasra Kufyud Beis. Right? Our Gemara, out of nowhere. You think it's just about Yerusha? No. Mashman Bishas, Sheish Kpeida Alze, Sheikh Kover Bishelo, the Lobi Makom Shaul Meachirim. Alkein Nagu Likach Aguras Kesav Al Kapanim, Mikol Bar Minon, Sheikarka Koni Lobi Mechirahu, the Kover Bishelo, the Alze Kazim Alaso. And then you quoted, Sheish the Fakvik Bedavar, Shashas Lo Kover Sheikh Gnai Let Tzadik, and then he has a whole tshuva. Is it a Gnai for the Tzadik or is it a Gnai for the family? Which one? Do you get any impression from our Gemara? Is it a Gnai for the Mace or for the Chai? Okay, that's the Shuv of the Chazam Sofer. But he has that line, E'ef shal epsich zakever below Damim. Okay, let's continue. So, next line, Amar Abaya. So, there is a question that we've shown him. What is Abaya talking about? Tosfos says it's a continuation, but we're going to go with the Shita of the Rashbam and the Ritva. The Rashbam and the Ritva both say, Amar Abaya is a new statement. New statement, Inyan Bifnei Atzma. So the Gemara says, so we're all worried. Remember the case that they spoke about a blot ago, the top of Kufyat Aleph and Aleph? The Gemara says, what's the worry about a woman switching a shevet? What's the worry? She's going to have nachla from Chobas Yeresh's nachla. Remember the case the Rashbam described? She is going to marry into a new shevet, and then she's going to get nachla from her mother from the other shevet. Right? That was the case. You just review that case for a second, because that's what the Gemara is going to talk about now. According to the Rashbam, go back to Kuf Yud Aleph and Aleph, fifth skinny line. Fifth skinny line of the Rashbam. Kigon Sha'aviyah Mishevet Ruvain, Ve'imah Mishevet Shimon. Right? Her father's from Ruvain, her mother's from Shimon, and when she got married, Ima La'avia, when she got married, Hayu La'achin La'ima Shabazu, when she got married, her mother had brothers. There was no, her mother didn't have any nachla at the time that she got married. No problem. She yarshu nachla zaviyim, but at the time she had brothers that yarshin the nachla of her father. Delek asavas aim la'av, and there's no problem b'shasti suin. And then, mihu, skip a line, akrechein mezo ached, and her brothers died, and then her father died, and she yarshined it. Right? So that was the worry. That was the worry about switching, and that's how she could have two nachlas. So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, sof sof, hakamis akra nachla mishifta de'ima l'shifta de'aba. Sof sof, isn't the nachla moving? Aren't we worried that the nachla is moving, and therefore, how is a way marrying within her own shevet won't help, because still she has her mother's nachla that is going to lose. Right? The Ritva says, Shabaya shoel al ha'inyin shoye kashul ol divrei hakol. He's not asking on the previous line. So he's saying, well, aren't we worried about that? So he answers the Gemara, umi mai, v'dilma shiny hasam shekfar huspa. Says the Gemara, no. The second, what are we saying? That the brothers are going to go to the father, and the father's going to go to the mother, and then the mother, once it goes to the mother, it's going to become to the husband. Maybe, what does this line mean? I'll read you from the Ritva. He says it sharper. Klomar, kibas zu, ma sheyarsha mimata avia eino nechshav, me'ata mimata ima, ela mimata aviha. Why? Kibon shebal rishusa shemisyachechas ata mata aviha, the mishpachas aim, Eina kruya mishpacha. Vaharihi ki ilu haya hako b'cheska shevet aviha. Says the Ritva, it could be when she gets it, when this daughter gets it, it's not called her mother's nachla anymore. Because as we said yesterday, mishpacha ze'eim eina kruya mishpacha. So whenever she gets it, it's considered nachla da'av. Nachla da'eim doesn't exist really. Says, so maybe we say that. And therefore it's not a problem. Amale says, shekvar huspa l'amrinan. Who says you say that? Who says you say such a thing? So I'm going to reveal my Ravashi, but if you don't say that, then you have the original problem. If you say that kfar huspa, which means it's already husav, it is considered the nachla of the father, hainu to be took mikra, b'misibas aben, b'misibas abal. Then you could say, the psukkah we're talking about, you're not letting him marry into the other shevet because you're worried about the son taking it or about the husband taking it. But if you say, we don't say shekfar huspa, so then we're back to the original question that Abaya asked. When she marries somebody from her father's shevet, my havi, that doesn't help. She's the original question. She's still going to lose her mother's nachla. Answers the Gemara. Maybe this is what we have to try to do. Maybe put her in the same situation that she was before. She has to marry somebody with the same shevet of the father and same shevet of the mother. So then nothing, there's no difference between right now and after she gets married. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. Ihachi says the Gemara, if that's true, hi, le'echad mi mishpachas mate avia v'ima mi boilei. The pasuk says who she has to marry. So she should have to marry somebody with the same father and mother shevet. So Gemara said, no, couldn't have written that, because Iksiv Hachi, Hava Amina Filu Ifcha, Kamash Malan. I would have thought, just pick one or the other, it doesn't matter which side they're on. Kamash Malan, I can't say that it says Aviyah, but it really means Aviyah and Ima. Period. Okay, so now says the Gemara, the Brisa that goes on to tomorrow's daf. Tanya Besibas HaBen, Tanya Besibas HaBal. There's a Brisa that talks about the son taking it, and from the husband taking it. Tanya, I'm going to quote one Brisa for each. Today we're going to quote the ben one, and tomorrow you'll quote the husband one. Tanya b'sibas haben. The lo sees of nachlo b'nei yisol mimate al mate. B'sibas haben achaz medaber. She shouldn't marry out of her shevet because her son may yarshin her. Ata omer b'sibas haben, o eno enem b'sibas habal. Is it the son that's going to yarshin her, or is it going to be the husband? K'shihu omer, when it says the other pasuk, v'lo sees of nachlo mimate al mate acher, hari b'sibas habal amor. You already have a pasuk about the husband. Hamani Makayim Belosizav Nachlo Lebnei Yisrael Mimata El Mata Besibas Haben Akaz Medaber. It must be Besibas Haben. Period. And tomorrow we're going to get to the Brisa that talks about Besibas Habal. Just one other source, and that is Rabbi Elchanan, which I said we'll get back to. Rabbi Elchanan notes, so we're talking about Besibas Haben, Besibas Habal. He says I have a nafkamina. I have a very interesting nafkamina, says Rabbi Chanan, Os Shin Chaf Hey, between whether the worry is that when the woman marries out of her shevet, are we worried that her husband's going to yarshenu or her son? At what moment is the Avera? At what moment is the Avera committed? It's not a Shas Erisin, because a Baal is not Yorish's Ishto from Erisin. So that's for sure, it's not Erisin. What about Nisuin? The moment they get married, is that the worry? Or, what's the other possibility? The moment that they have to have a son. They have to have a son. So maybe it's the moment of the Bia. And what if she's not Roy Laholid? Right? What if she's not Roy Laholid? So it says that they have all these questions. He says, Venera, Tagama Baal over Balav Sivas Nachla. That's what I quoted before. He says, Vihine, Im Nema de Behasebas Abal Akasim Adaber. If we're worried about the husband, Nire, Da Averis Halavi Bishas Nisuin. For Lord Bashas Erisin, the Arisin Yorish. Vi Nema Behibas Ben Akasim Medaber. Imkain gam b'shas nisuin like yisura. She still didn't violate. Ela b'shas bia deru yelahisaber. Right, because it's only about the son. V'tzarachir, he says. Im ha ister. So what do you say even after the bia? What if they're never going to have a kid? What if they never have a kid? Does she violate the avera if they never have a child? According to the man d'amar sibas haben akasim medaber. V'tzarachir, im ha ister b'shas bia mitzla tali v'kai adaleidas haben. Maybe it's a ister held in abeyance. It's in limbo. It's in limbo from Shas Bia. Once you have a kid, so then you get the Avera. And he says, even after you have a kid, maybe it's only a problem if she dies before the kid. Right? So all of these are Shas Nisuin, Shas Bia, Shas Yerusha. Vimlo Telede, Gloy Milsa, Shlo Avraklau. O Dilma, Da Bia, Atzma Asura. Kivan de Efsha, Shi Yivali Mizeben. Right? Is it per se the Bia, or is it just Lamaisa? Vinir Nafgamina, Bezibas Enon Sibas Abal, Ebene Ruya Laholid, if she can't have a child. Timikomakom Sibas Abel Ika, Vachain Lahefech, Imabal Sila Gaspam Yerushasa. What if the Baal promises not to Yarshin her? That would be the other nafkamina. It would be mutter for Sibas Habal and so on, so for Sibas Haben. So he comes up with nafkaminas, first and foremost, at what moment would the Avera Bichal in this case? We have this in general by other Isurim as well. By other Isurim is the Isur. Let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. Does he violate B'shas Erisin? It says Lo Yikach. It says Lo Yikach. So B'shas Erisin could be an Avera. Or is it Shas Bia? Is it Erisin that released the Bia? Do you wait for the Bia and then it's Lamafreya? So these are the Gemaras, the Sechas Kedushin. They talk about these Yisurim. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody should have a good Shabbos. Afreilich and Chanukah. And Rav Hashem, we pick up on Sunday with Kuf Yudalid. Shame Aid. Aid Nasadayan. Those are the sugyas that come up on Daf Kuf Yud Dalid. Okay, we'll stop here.